You like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place then, because this is yet again the Rantcore Pit with myself, Cole Jedi Cole Houston, and zooming here in his new brand spanking new speeder.
I had to switch last minute because for some reason I thought this was, you know, a Ghostbusters podcast, and I came in the Ecto-1.
It was embarrassing. We had to stop for just completely.
Especially
revamped.
Since it was not even a proper vehicle. It was just like a little pedal car, you know, for kids. And, you know, it was.
But I want to point out that you were absolutely adorable. In that. This is actually, much to my surprise, the 30th episode. Can that be right? The 30th episode of.
That sounds right.
Pit. Wow, 60 weeks we've been at this.
60 weeks.
Over a year now.
We took some time off here.
Some time off there. And ironically, you know, we've passed our first year of this show. We're getting close to our first year on the Rantcore Pit Live. And I want to take a moment just to thank everybody who's been a part of this show, from our guests and our listeners, everybody who's supported the JCU all these years and been a part of the JCU. Everybody that I want to eventually be a guest on this show. it's been amazing. I'm always surprised when we'll do a show and I'll look up like, what issue or what show is this?
Number
30.
It's crazy because back in the day when I was just, you know, and still am, I shouldn't say back in the day, but, you know, when I was not part of the JCU proper, but just a fan of Hey Kids Comics, it was amazing to me how many episodes y'all were racking up so quickly, and had no idea that one day I'd be in the same boat, you know.
Exactly.
Realizing, wait a second, 30 plus another 20-something live? That's a lot of shows.
So now I know how they do that. You just don't know how I do both shows, because I don't know how I do that. But this is, the Rancor Pit number 30, Speeders, Walkers, and Cloud Cars, oh my.
Mm-hmm.
We, as you know, last time, about 2 weeks ago, we talked about all of the various spacefaring vessels.
Mm-hmm.
The means by which to get you from one planet to the next, or hop the stars, or bounce close enough to a supernova not to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are some vehicles, a lot of very iconic vehicles that you just can't drive around in space that come from the Star Wars saga.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it's funny because this is where the bulk of my fanboyish nature when it comes to Star Wars vehicles comes into play, because this is the stuff, when you mentioned the topic, my mind went to all the terrestrial vehicles.
Well, you went immediately to that because those are the ones that are the most likely,
mm-hmm.
and those are the ones that just almost anyone can get their hands on. if you look at it, you know, not everybody gets to drive around fly these starships. You know, not every 8 or 10 year old gets to hop on board a Naboo starfighter and pilot it around.
Yeah.
Partially by their own abilities, partially through the help of R2. leaving one to question how good a star pilot Obi-Wan thought Anakin really was when he met. But that's a whole other story. You know, I think we've talked a lot about that on the Obi-Wan Was a Damn Liar
mm-hmm.
episode. But this is all about the types of things that a lot of ordinary guys get to use. And from the earliest example of this we see from the Luke's Land Speeder,
mm-hmm.
straight through to inexplicable vehicles of episodes 1 through 3.
Yeah.
It will be all over all of these. And since this was really the one where, you know, you jumped on that aspect and kind of forced my hand and turned a one-shot wonder into a two-episode bonanza, what is your... If you had to pick, if you had to Highlander it...
Oh.
What would be your number...
Well,
your number one? Which is your number one vehicle?
It's easy. One comes to mind, but
it's Grievous' wheel bike, isn't it?
What's that?
It's Grievous's wheel bike, isn't it?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
No.
Because otherwise, I was going to be looking for new co-hosts.
Although it, when I do see that come on screen, I always get a hankering for Dunkin' Donuts for some reason. I don't know why. But
I think that literally, Grievous was taking a flying leap at a rolling donut.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It's going to have to be the speeder bike.
That's a good one.
For a lot of reasons, other than the main ones were when Jedi came out, and I know people always, you know, give me crap because I, on my list of favorite Star Wars movies, I mean, I consider all three movies like one story, so it's hard. It's like picking a favorite child, you know.
So true.
But I do have a special place in my...
As spoken by the couple of people who don't have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
See, we decided early on in our lives that we weren't going to put ourselves in the position of having to pick a favorite child.
Exactly, so that's exactly it.
You have no children, you're never forced to make that choice.
Nice, I like that. I'll go with that, I can go
okay,
with that.
Okay, there you go. So.
But the speeder bike, Return of the Jedi has a special place in my Star Wars heart because I was at that age. I'm blown away by New Hope. But, you know, keep in mind, I was about 5 years old when I saw it. So,
but that was also the point where you had that heart transplant, had your regular heart replaced with a Star Wars heart.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There is that.
By 2-1-B.
Yeah, 2-1-B. But so when Jedi came out, I was about 10-ish or so. And so I was at that age where I was just like, openly absorbing everything Star Wars, and like, I guess my mind was fully understanding what Star Wars was, who these characters were and everything, you know, more than just, you know, my younger brain was processing the whole thing 5-6 years earlier. So when I started seeing early images of everything, the speeder bike and the biker scouts were one of the first images I saw in Starlog about Return of the Jedi, so that blew me away. But beyond that, once I got into the movie and all that whole sequence with the speeder bikes, as I'm sure a lot of people can agree, is probably one of the most exciting moments in Return of the Jedi, is that speeder bike.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up, like, you know, seeing early images in Starlog and the like. And not at all ironically, that brought to mind that really was, you know, a production shot, especially of the biker scout on the speeder bike. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first images that was let out into the world, as it were.
Oh, yeah, long before there was a Twitter to, you know, leak a black-and-white picture of sad Batman, you know, standing next to his Batmobile. You know.
Sad Batman.
Yeah, I know. We're all sad for Batman.
I think we would have, waited a long time for Starlog to run pictures of sad Batman. But back then, it was known as Michael Keaton.
Yeah, even before that. It was but, So the spear bike had a big impact on me as a Star Wars fan, and so much so, and I'm not sure. I'm like you now, where I can't tell. I've gotten to the point where I've done so many of these podcasts, I can't remember what I've talked about in a podcast and what I've talked about with people in person at conventions.
The lines begin to blur.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I may have mentioned this on an episode before. But as a kid, I had a 10-speed, and I would ride around in the neighborhood as fast as I could, pretending that that was my speeder bike. I mean, I was, like, obsessed with speeder bikes. And so
I don't think you've mentioned it on the show, because I remember something so tragically sad.
Oh, wow.
Wait, I want to tramp on your memories there, huh? No, but, yeah, seriously,
gosh.
Says
the guy who has a Gamorrean guard piggy bank.
Right. You leave Gamorri out of this.
Oh, you named him even. Wow.
It's Gamorri Povich.
Oh, nice.
Not really.
Yeah. So what about your favorite vehicle, if you had to pick one?
That becomes really, I should have thought that out before I posed that question, because now I'm forced to answer.
Okay.
Because that is a tough one, because there are so many iconic vehicles, you know. Once I had my own car, then I would drive around pretending it was a land speeder.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true. But, you know, oddly enough, I would have to say, if I was going to pick a favorite land vehicle or terrestrial type vehicle, an ironic choice, I realize, but I just always had a fondness for the Jawa Sandcrawler.
You know what? That is actually number 3 on my list.
Oh, well, there you go. That It's just such, for one thing, it's very iconic. There's nothing quite like it.
No, it's the party bus of the trilogy.
Oh, it's like the party bus with it. It's like you took the party bus and mated it with one of those catering trucks.
Roach coach?
Yeah, and just, you know, it's got everything you need right there on board. It's like a land cruise, basically.
It's like that double-decker bus in The Great Muppet Caper. You know, where all the Muppets were just, like, you know, loaded into this thing, and they're traveling through London, you know, just having a good old time. That's what it reminds me of. Oddly enough, there's just as many Muppets on Jabba's cell barge as there are on that.
That's so true, because Jabba's cell barge truly was the double-decker bus.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, it was one of those things where you saw it on the big screen. It was bigger than life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize seeing that, you know, it's like Patsy, it's only a model. it just looked so damn good, and then when it's sort of parked at the Lars Homestead, you just sort of imagine that they've dissected some tanks, and it was actually probably all made out of wood and pipe, steel piping, but behind it. Mm-hmm. But it's just something that was so impressive about that, because you look at that, you see what little you see of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your big holding bay with all the droids, and apparently somebody left a Brillo pad on top of R2 after he was loaded in. And
oh, I'm sorry, we're on two different pages. You're saying the Jabba Sandcrawler.
Yeah.
I thought
you're
you said
Jabba's
cell barge. Yeah. Oh, okay, my bad. Okay.
Now the party bus analog makes a hell of a lot.
Okay, you're probably like, okay, I need time to find a new co-host. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I was actually putting out a Craigslist ad while you were...
And I heard Jabba.
That's okay. An easy mistake to make.
Especially when you're talking about Jawa.
It's like that time when Letterman was hosting the Academy Awards and that failed joke of Jabba, Jawa, Jawa, Jabba.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, the sand crawl, I mean, yes, the sail barge is really incredibly cool itself, but I think maybe it gets a little weighed down by the fact that there's so many Muppets on board.
Okay, yeah, that reference makes more sense to you, too, I guess.
Yeah, and you're also trying to figure out when Jabba's sail barge ever went to the Lars Homestead.
Yeah, that's what threw me off when you said that. I was like, wait, what?
Remember the Sarlacc pit? And then in the special edition, they added Banthas, but I don't recall seeing the Homestead anywhere.
Okay, so Sandcrawler.
But the Sandcrawler, you know, gets very little screen time, very little...
Uh-huh.
You know, they could have gone in and, like, showed the Jabba's... Now, look what you've done. They show the Jawas up in the cockpit, you know, driving the thing around. And
the other thing that tipped me off is when you said the Brillo pad on R2's head. Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I know what you're talking
I remember
about.
A drink dispenser, but... but the thing is, there's so much, even, you know, to my young mind, seeing that just on the cusp of 12 years old, there was just so much implicit...
Mm-hmm.
History and so much implicit backstory to that vehicle. It just was mm-hmm. so impressive.
Yeah.
You basically, it was like a city on wheels.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the expanded universe and the backstory, and when all that's sort of setting in, then you get the concept that these things are just like giant refineries and mm-hmm. workshops, and, you know, they go and collect scrap and droids and what. You know, utilize what they can to patch up things or melt mm-hmm. the rest down and go to apparently big Jawa swap meet somewhere in the desert.
Have you, it's funny that you talk about the I was about to say Jawa swap meet. Gosh,
it's like the Rancor thing all over again.
Yeah, yeah. The Jawa swap meet, because if you look at the Macquarie concept painting of the Sandcrawler, I've always loved that piece. I mean, that's a piece where I wish I could have it in print form and have it on the wall. It's nothing over the top, but I just love the look of it. So if you ever get a chance to look for the Macquarie Sandcrawler art, they show the Sandcrawler and the bay is open, and you see inside. It's a lot more lit up than it is in the movie. It's nice and lit up, and it's. And it looks
I thought you were talking about like the original Macquarie concept art where it had like the, you know, like it had big steel jaws in the front.
Oh, no.
Instead of
I guess
the nice little fold down front ramp. But yeah, Macquarie was commissioned to do a later, actually, the image you're talking about, which is incredibly cool. And I'll try to include that in the mix here of the flavor art.
Yeah.
Is, in fact, what sprung to mind when I mentioned the big Jawa swap meet.
Yeah, because that's what it is. They're surrounded by all these little booths, and it's like a Jawa convention.
Yeah, and they've got, like, you know, all the sand crawlers are opened up, and they're trading with each other, and there's, like, a big tent pavilion going on where you can probably get funnel cakes.
Yeah. Oddly enough, there's a movie screen set up in the back, and they're on the projector, they're showing Buck Rogers, of all things.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it was cheap to get.
Oh, yeah. It was the public domain version.
So. Oh, okay.
No licensing fees or anything.
Thank goodness. But, yeah, in fact, if you compare that with the original Macquarie concept, the final Sandcrawler is not far from the Macquarie concept.
Okay.
But it does have some subtle differences. And the Jawa swap meet you actually do get to see in episode 2, I believe it is.
Really? Yeah,
Luke's out, when Anakin rather,
yeah,
is out cruising around looking for Padme.
Shmi.
You know, when he's out looking for Shmi, you actually see a quick shot of...
That's right.
Him conferring with Jawas during one of their swap meets.
Eventually, they're going to do a special edition where, you know, they have Lucas go back in and add in balloons.
Oh, yeah.
Funnel cakes.
Have it where basically Anakin's snacking on a funnel cake.
Yeah.
But I think also what makes that so impressive is it's just such a ridiculously large land vehicle. It's almost comically oversized. And it's in such sharp contrast with the Jawas themselves, who are so diminutive.
That's true.
But in many ways, it just sort of struck me as being kind of like this great city on wheels. And they literally just take everything they need with them. So, you know, and the sand people who are less technologically savvy can suck it.
And what's so cool?
Yeah, you know, they're stuck just wandering around.
Oh, yeah. What's so cool about that is you see, that's, as far as terrestrial land vehicles and all that are concerned, that's the first one you see in New Hope. And that's another thing they hit us over the head with as far as overpowering the senses. You know, you had.
Well, that's true. You do see that before you see the land speeder.
Yeah, so opening sequence, you get the big Imperial cruiser that overpowers the screen. Then you have the Jawa Sandcrawler that
really
is impressive. Another cool thing about it is I always thought this story was pretty cool because Jawas, for the most part, you know, they're scavengers. There's not much to them as far as, like, you know, having a little bit of fight in their blood. But in the Marvel Comics series, and Cole, you'll probably remember this episode where they explain how Boba Fett didn't actually get eaten by the Sarlacc. He got burped up by the Sarlacc. There's a really cool sequence in there where Boba Fett and Han are in the Sandcrawler, Leia's zooming along the side of him, calling out to Han to hurry up, get out of the Sandcrawler because it's going to tump into the Sarlacc. Well, isn't there a scene in that story where the Jawas are actually shooting at Han and Leia before Han gets on board? Like, they come out, and then you realize they use this thing like a big fortified tank, basically. They can, you know, sit up high with their rifles and fire down.
Yeah, that's true, because it is very much like a fortress.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing to bring to the Jawa's character, was like, when push comes to shove, they will defend what they
have.
Yeah,
that's so true. So. Except apparently when, like, poor shot stormtroopers show up.
Well, you know, there was that little snafu. And the Kenner set was always one of the cool
actually the original Kenner the remote control was a very coveted piece, and one of the few things I don't have myself, but I
never got it either.
Or actually, I stand corrected. I do have that one. I don't have the Hasbro one that came out, which is based on the same mold. I've got but the remote control. But
I never got the Sandcrawler, but I did have the playset where it had the Sandcrawler backdrop.
Yes, the
little elevator.
Jawas, playset.
Yeah, that was pretty cool as a kid to have, you know.
Yeah, that was a neat little thing. Yeah, because you had the cardboard sand crawler and.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in fact, there was.
I kept
meaning to get one for a long time there, but there was somebody had some little outfit that was doing novelty soaps.
Oh yeah.
And they actually did a sandcrawler soap.
Oh. They're trying to give the Jaws a hint.
I guess so. You know, C-3PO didn't have a very good high opinion of their sand,
yeah.
As it were. Yeah. So, I would have to go with the Sandcrawler as being one of those really iconic vehicles, but and also it's one that not many people think about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those you're going to jump out and say, hey, how about the Sandcrawler?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not in the way the speeder bike, because that certainly the speeder bike sequence, I remember seeing Siskel and Ebert's review, and who was it? Gene Siskel was just so enamored of that sequence, it was almost frightening. And then they had the unmitigated gall, one of them, to suggest that, you know, if they're already floating along, why not fly above the tree?
I do remember them saying that.
Yeah, see, and it's like, no, shut up. Okay, they can't fly that high.
I remember that.
They lose their ability to maintain that off the ground.
And you know what? And as a kid, I remember that was my argument, too, was, yeah, it works like the land speeder. You don't see the land speeders just taking right off,
yeah,
you know.
And I guess because there weren't any trees around, they didn't try to make that connection. But
yeah. But still, yeah, you had to assume it's the same technology that the land speeder is based
exactly
on. For that matter, I guess the snow speeder and sand speeder.
You know, I rarely took issue with them, but in that case, I had to really. Had to point out, no, you're wrong. So anyway, moving on to some of the others, Jabba's sail barge, since that was accidentally insinuated into the mix, we'll go ahead and touch on that one because I'm guessing that was number three on the list.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of the bus in Great Muppet Caper.
Well, really, I can see that because of the Muppets on board and everybody scurrying about. But the sail barge also did sort of get you in the mind of the Sandcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like that same sort of, you know, armored, overly large kind of transport, and it was sort of like if you took the sand crawler and mixed it with a speeder bike, land speeder.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny that you say you compare it to the sand crawler because just when you boil it down to its basic shape, it's like the sand crawler shape turned upside down. But of course, you know, not as tall. You know,
yeah.
It's got that jetted out little nose in the front and all that, and it's got the it's got the really cool pirate sails on top and. You know, it never hurts to have a bikini Leia prancing around the top deck. You
that
know.
Never hurts anything.
No, of course not. Now, unless it was Leia in Episode 7 in a gold bikini, then I might have to take issue.
Well, I guess we'll have to see how brave J.J. Abrams got with that. You know, Nichelle Nichols did that fan dance late in her career.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. I love Nichelle Nichols and all, but yeah, no, let's not, no. the cell barge, I remember seeing one time this really cool concept piece where someone dissected it and showed the interior, which, you know, it was kind of fulfilled that childhood fantasy, because in my mind as a kid, I always wondered what was in there. You know, really, I really did think of it as like this party wagon for Jabba and his crew. So I always imagined what was in there. So when this artist came up with the, you know, the little dissected version illustration of Jabba's cell barge, it kind of like lived up to all my expectations.
Oh,
you know,
excellent!
Way back and when, you know, it's got the bar, it's got some storage areas, and what all. Of course, Jabba's got the biggest, nicest room in the barge. Of course,
naturally, yeah, it's his way.
It is. But yeah, that's definitely a cool piece. And to match that, even. Is the little skiff guard What is that called exactly? The little thing that they have?
They simply called it a skiff or a desert sail skiff at times.
Okay,
I've seen it called.
Desert, the skiff.
But for the most part, it just seems to get referred to as the skiff.
Okay, that's probably why I was blanking. I thought it was a more fancy name than that. That was cool, too, because it was just like that same thing, but shrunken down.
Exactly.
You know?
It was sort of like the like accessory. You know, like you buy the sail barge, we'll throw in a couple of these matching skiffs.
Free shipping.
That's right. Now how much would you pay? But wait.
There's more.
You also kind of figure that, you know, Jabba takes 110% discount on everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so, you're probably not going to make the most money off of Jabba anyway, but there you have it.
So, yeah, he's no Gardula the Hutt. You can't pull one
of them. Yeah, she's not as shrewd as he is.
No.
To her, that's her misfortune. But, yeah, sail barge is kind of a unique animal in that what I like about it is also, you know, over the years it came to realize that a lot of the design of it, you spoke of like the pirate sails.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare that to your galley type of ship, you do have that higher, you know, the rear part of it is higher.
Cause
I'm drawing a blank on the parts of a ship, but.
Sure.
So you do have that sort of raised section back where, you know, the wheelhouse would be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or in this case, the place where you keep your giant outboard gun.
Mm-hmm. Well, that upper deck, that's where Size Noodles goes to get some sun, you know, work on her tan.
Oh, yeah, or her jaundicey yellow, if it were.
Obviously,
actually, that's pretty tan for her species.
It is. But obviously Viv Fortuna is not going anywhere near that tanning deck.
No, Viv Fortuna, if he had hair, would be a ginger. He really has to watch out for getting too much sun. He's an albino. What's he going to do?
You've offended all of our ginger listeners.
As a ginger, I empathize. You know, having grown up in the era where SPF was somewhere in our future. Sort of a one-size-fits-all platform when it came to to sunscreens when I was growing up. So, yeah, I feel for Bib Fortuna.
I mean,
I'm just like three shades darker than him in my normal... Well, maybe two shades.
I don't feel sorry for him because, you know, when he goes, you know, to Mos Eisley, he always gets the Major Domo discount. So, you know, he's got an advantage.
Yeah, you know, he had it going on for a while, but he had the, again, poor choice there, bad call, wound up going, hanging out with Jabba, had to go on the sail barge trip. He wanted to see Jabba's old nemesis there get the finger, and wound up getting croaked himself. That's what happens, you know. I just felt sorry for, like, you know, Max Rebo. He was just hired hand. I'll come along. I'll play some tunes on the way.
That was like their first major gig was playing Jabba's Palace, and then, you know...
And they all croaked it.
So. Yeah. We'll have to do a Max Rebo band tribute episode sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to do we'll have to do, like, an Inside the Music.
Yeah. Oh, we gotta do that. Oh, we got it.
We'll have to see if we can maybe do a high production.
That would be pretty
video
awesome.
Piece on
if
that.
If y'all want to hear that, you write in and tell us you want to hear that.
So let's take a look at, I guess, probably one of the most impressive, if I don't know, not going to get there in a hurry. Land vehicles is the AT-AT.
Oh, yeah.
All-terrain armored transport.
Yeah.
Which, you talk about, you don't know what you've talked about where. My AT-AT, my vintage AT-AT, my personal collection from Kenner, is actually the piece that I bought in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, somewhere in, like, 1980, 81. Visiting a friend of mine who'd moved from where we lived outside of Dallas. His family had moved to Louisiana. I went a couple times to to visit, saved up my money, flew out there. And coming back, we're waiting at the luggage carousel.
Yeah.
And the thing fires up, and, you know, various handbags and makeup cases and what have you are coming off the thing. And then off the carousel comes the AT-AT box.
Mm-hmm.
With a little twine handle that's been taped onto it by my friend's dad.
Uh-huh.
And my dad just like, I know who that is.
He's yeah.
Luggage. Yes, I actually checked my AT-AT as baggage.
Well.
To get it home.
Be glad it was on that carousel and not like the Logan's Run carousel.
That's so true because
it would have gotten renewed and that would have been all she wrote.
Yeah, would have come back as one of those modern AT-ATs with the stained feet to be the Hasbro indoor AT-AT.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the AT-AT was I first encountered the AT-AT much like you had first seen the Starlog pictures of the speeder bike. The AT-AT first appeared when my friend, who's been on the show with us, Steve, or has he been on this show or just?
Oh yeah, he's
is.
Been.
Yeah, he's been on every show.
Both pre-recorded and live.
That's right. Yes, he came to the live show. Wow, I'm getting old. But yeah, when Steve and I went to go see Something Wicked This Way Comes solely. The Empire Strikes Back.
We discovered that isn't true because the year came out.
Oh, that's right. No, it wasn't that, was it? I keep remembering it.
You're like Stan Lee. You're telling the story in one way, but in reality, it happened a completely different way.
I get confused on what happened what year. But yes, that's so true. We did figure out that was Jedi. We must have gone see previous. I don't know what we went and saw for Empire.
Yeah.
We knew that a friend of ours had gone to see something. And he said, you've got to go see this because you'll see the Empire mm-hmm. Strikes Back trailer. And he was telling us there were like these big mechanical dog-looking things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to stick around and see that again back when you could.
Yeah.
And you know, that was just what whetted our appetite more than anything. We had to see these things, giant walking things. And, you know, they were using traditional stop-motion
mm-hmm.
puppet animation, as it were, and to amazing results.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, years later you would see, like, the making of Star Wars and find out that they studied them or modeled the movement after the way an elephant walks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was always the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle version. One of the early concepts is the turtle shell-looking body before they went with a more boxy camel look.
Yep.
And yeah, if you look around, you can find some pre-production art.
Uh-huh.
And one of the shell... The legs were pretty much settled early on.
Okay.
It was the body and, to some degree, the head that went back and forth through designs. And one of the early ones makes it look like a really tall turtle.
Okay.
I like turtles.
So, AT-AT concept.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yes, I have seen this.
The turtle one.
Uh-huh.
What are some other personal favorites before I start launching into mine?
Let's talk about the walkers a bit since we started with the AT-AT. Let's go into the AT-ST because
that was because the first time you see it, you get just a couple of quick little glimpses. You're like, whoa, hey, chicken walker, what's going on there?
Yeah, yeah. And it literally was like a chicken walker and displayed perfectly when the logs came rolling down the hill. And, you know, and made it kind of get all wobbly and, you know, kind of goofy looking and fall over and Return of the Jedi. But, no. They did come out in Empire. That's what you're
talking about. Yes, exactly.
That's
way
right.
In the background. There's like, especially when Luke disengages himself from the AT-AT. You see
Yeah, of course. Yes, they are.
I'm
completely drawn blank. That's right. They are in Empire. Yeah, I have seen Empire people, I think. No, yeah, the AT-ST, though, the...
And that's what made it so cool that they brought that back in such a big way for
mm-hmm.
Empire, or for Jedi, rather.
Yeah.
And then further, brought back an AT-AT. You know, when you think they're not going to upcool it anymore, then they drive an AT-AT around to pick Luke up.
Which, you think that AT-AT is going to have a heck of a time getting through that thick forest? I get the chicken walker.
Yeah.
It's a little,
I guess,
know,
when they cut the, you know, when they cleared the land for the actual structure, the actual landing platform, they probably just went ahead and cut a throughway.
Yeah,
that way they
but,
could just they could just run it around in big circles like a very slow NASCAR.
But okay, I imagine they had like the jungle cutter from Indiana Jones and the
that could have been
crystal
it.
Skull.
Only like a bigger one with lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh, that
like,
I like
lightsaber
that.
Chains. Oh, well, there we go. We've talked about lightsaber variations in the past on shows. Why is nobody coming with a lightsaber chainsaw? It'd be like Star Wars Ash.
That's
sorry,
right. Ash is the Dark Jedi.
Yeah. I
like
see
that.
That's a challenge out there for people. I want to see your
somebody cosplay
your,
that.
Yeah, your Dark Ash or your Sith Ash. don't do Sith Ash. That sounds awkward.
Yeah, well, you know, the Sith Ash, that's because they're not using enough lotion. They just, especially in the winter, get all ashy. But
nothing worse than getting a case of Sith Ash, I'll tell you.
The bad taste.
Talk about the dark times.
Yeah, let's not. When it comes to the AT-STs, though, that what leaves a bad taste in my mouth is it eventually invokes the horrid Tarzan cry from Chewbacca.
We didn't have to mention like everything about them, did we?
Yeah, that's true. I guess we didn't. But what was cool is they took the basic concept of the AT-ST. And for the Clone Wars series, they created the AT-RTs, the All-Terrain Recon Transports, which are really neat because I love the design of the chicken walkers. So these would be almost like the chicks of the chickens.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I always looked at sort of like the Easy Rider version.
Exactly. It is the Easy Rider version. So they're tinier, but I love the concept, other than the fact that it leaves the trooper exposed to whoever's going to shoot him.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
that
definitely
help.
Not a good idea. Like, oh, look, we've armored this thing up. Nothing can stop this except killing the driver.
Yeah, exactly.
He's completely exposed.
But it is still cool because it's smaller. It's a lot faster.
But it also looks, quite frankly, I'm sorry, it also looks like the sort of thing that you would give your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, you're too young to drive a car. Here's a go-kart.
Yeah.
it's like the go-kart of Scout Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, it would be like something you'd like be driving through the neighborhood the day after Christmas, and you're some damn kid on one of those stupid little
ATRTs.
Oh, guess who's got the rich parents? Indulgent.
Vader's kid can get everything. Yeah,
Vader's kid. Yeah, there's Luke, little young Luke and Leia cruising around on their awkward little walker things. I guess the idea was because they're basically using them to walk around Kashyyyk looking for dead Wookiees.
Mm-hmm.
Is that at that point you've pretty much cleared the battlefield,
mm-hmm.
and this is so you don't get your boots dirty stepping on a bunch of dead Wookiees.
They're mechanical galoshes, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, they just keep your feet safely off the ground. Or they're also good for golf if you need to go out and retrieve your ball from the water trap.
Yeah, that's true. But
that little known aspect there.
And that's actually very well known because when Palpatine takes his little retreats, you know, away, that's what he brings those along for. They get a little bit more coverage in the Clone Wars series, and they kind of, even though they lack in protecting their driver, they kind of make up for it in speed and maneuverability. They're like, it's almost like in Jurassic Park, how even though the raptors are one of the smaller scaled dinosaurs in the thing, they're the
kind
quickest
like
and the
giant
deadliest.
Giant 6-foot turkey, actually.
It is basically like a 6-foot turkey.
So that's more like a 8 or 9 foot mechanical turkey.
Exactly. So they're almost like the raptors in that respect, where the size kind of throws you off. You don't realize how quick and, you know, and these things are and how deadly they can be, I guess, because they can maneuver so quickly. But it's still a cool design. It takes a design that we're familiar with and kind of tweaks it a bit to give us something different and new.
Well, it's almost like the speeder bike of walking vehicles.
Yeah.
Because it's got it's got the little handlebar going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, also you can imagine, like, on Coruscant, there are, like, gangs of maybe old speeder bike gangs in their retirement just drive around on those things instead.
Uh-huh, in the retirement, yeah.
Sith Angels or something.
Yes. Like Sith Angels. You know, for all his Mr. I'm so smart, I got it all together, me and Hank built the Blackbird. Why didn't Professor X design something like this? I think he would be a lot better off with designing something like this AT-RT. I know we're crossing universes here, but
technically,
it's all Disney now, so it's okay.
I think Xavier was afraid it would come off looking too much like the Kenner Justice Jogger from the Superpowers line.
Oh, it's Justin, folks. Superman's Justice Jogger.
The Justice Jogger, yes, indeed.
Because we know that the man who can fly at the speed of sound. Why does he need a Justice Jogger?
Well, there are days when you just don't feel like even flying.
Oh, okay. You know, or stepping on dead Wookiees.
Or perhaps it was for golf.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Justice Jogger sounded more exciting than the Superman's golf ball retrieval. Because Aquaman got tired of being the one who had to go in the lake all the time.
Oh, okay. Now we're invoking Aquaman.
Yeah, it's a Jedi Call show. So going from jogging to, say, hopping, for example, one of the more fascinating vessels that got new life in other media was the Skyhopper, which was remanded just being this little model, and you can apparently see where it's parked in the garage in the Lars homestead.
Yeah.
And the
odd... It took like 20 years to notice it, but it's there.
Yeah, in fact, obsessive people began to try to figure out how it's parked there, given its shape.
Uh-huh.
Because if you look at the shape of the actual Skyhopper...
Yeah.
There either has to be a lot of space underneath the garage...
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing like somewhere where someone had obsessively, you know, mapped out exactly how that had to be there.
Oh my gosh!
Do the wings come off and you put them back on? And
I mean, could they fold up like the Shield Tidarium?
Well, there wasn't any evidence that they were folded up against
the
big top wing. But I mean, certainly you could imagine that there was sort of like a little wedge of pit. You just sort of back it into a perfectly shaped area. Who cares? It was just a background prop. They weren't thinking about that. But the Skyhopper did get... There was a late into the Star Wars series, they did a kind of flashback episode to Luke's youth with him and Biggs and Fixer and Tank and Jimmy and Fred and Def Louie and...
Jeff Louie.
And other names I'm just making up.
Uh-huh.
But they're like, you know, having these big Beggars Canyon Skyhopper races. So it really got, you know, it actually made those things incredibly cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got like when they did the special edition and decided to do the, you know, fall of communism, big celebratory, you know, the wall coming down.
Mm-hmm.
CNN shots for all the different planets.
Of course, yeah.
You got that, and Kenner, or Hasbro rather, depending on who it was at that moment, came out with the Skyhopper for the action figures. And it was also immortalized in the Micro Machines lines, both as a standard little bitty Micro Machine and an action fleet.
Yeah.
So there's like all kind of Skyhopper thing going on, but you know, the Skyhopper you had to kind of wait to give some life with the Landspeeder that we mentioned early in. Luke's Landspeeder was a pretty cool little thing. A lot of people wonder why the windshield at all. Keep the wind off your chest.
Bugs.
or keep the bugs off your chest.
Yeah.
Because apparently your head's sticking 3 feet above the windscreen. But
well, not to mention those womp rats. You don't want to actually get smacked in the face by one of those things if they happen
to be... But your face is above the windshield. It's like...
Oh, gotcha.
It's like when you're driving around on your little Ecto-1 there. You know, the windshield on that isn't going to protect you from anything.
Okay, now I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's true. There would be like a couple of dogs hanging their faces out of the window.
Exactly, yeah. Bugs.
Their cheeks would just be rippling in the wind.
Exactly, yeah. Then, you know, something does fly into your mouth. You're powerless to stop it, but so it goes. But, you know, frankly, ever since the XP-38 came out,
mm-hmm.
which has a much taller windshield for one.
Yes, that was the selling point. The taller
windshield. A windshield that's worth having.
Not one that just cuts and makes the wind hit you directly in the throat.
Yeah, I'm just not really sure what was going on there. Or perhaps Luke's Landspeeder was originally owned by a Jawa.
There is that.
Like, what are you complaining about? The windshield's the perfect height. It was getting my feet to the pedals that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll love this. So, yeah, the Landspeeder, though, what I liked about that was it had aspects that invoke, I don't know, your kind of sci-fi ray guns and rocket ship
mm-hmm.
kind of thing with your trio of outboard engines.
Mm-hmm.
Of your, or your big, you know, jet engines off the side and off the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also had very sleek design. It looked fairly utilitarian.
It was a really cool design. You could kind of tell, if we didn't know this until later, at least I didn't, that Lucas had such a love hot rods.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
almost like hot rodder-ish. You know,
yeah, I think it's meant to be, because you've got like one of the engines has no cover on it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because it probably fell off when something hit Luke in the face, because the windshield was no damn good, and it smacked the engine cover and took that with it. But also, you know, it kind of puts you in the mind of like the jalopy they used to run around in on the Archie cartoon.
Really?
Because once you're having to carry four passengers...
Mm-hmm.
It gets kind of grandma up on top in the Beverly Hillbillies for 3PL and R2.
Yeah, the droids kind of did sit awkwardly in the back.
Yeah, there's not really a good arrangement. It's like it's like owning a small truck, if you know.
You can only imagine, like, you know, R2, they had like bungee cords going over R2 to hold
the
place.
Oh, yeah, they probably did. Yeah, or like maybe Ben used like the Force, you know, sort of like a variation of the Force push. Force bungee. He just sort of willed R2 to stay in place. Either that or Luke had a big ass magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Just
let's go with the magnet. The Force bungee. That's
you're having a hard time with the Force bungee, aren't
well,
you?
Well, that's bringing a much creepier side to Ben than I want to know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I didn't know what he did
with the Force Bungie when Ula came to visit.
No, let's not. Yeah.
So let's go to other sorts of variations on the speeder would be the Covenant Empire, the Snow Speeder.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually, I think that's kind of number two on my list as favorites go.
Yes.
Just because it's such a cool design.
It's decidedly un-aerodynamic. Yet aerodynamic. It has like aerodynamic sweep to the wings and an un-aerodynamic front that would make it like flying a brick. But what was so cool is seeing them on screen. There were the little subtle things, like the little flaps that would pop up here and there, and just the whole idea of like having a rear facing co-pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's like being a little kid and you're sitting in one of the kind of old jump seat in a van or something.
Yes,
watching everything.
What? What's the purpose of the second guy? I mean, to shoot that one harpoon gun. You can only use the harpoon gun once.
Yeah.
After that, it's like a bee stinging you. He stings you once.
And the thing about it is, if you want to go back and reuse the harpoon, the pilot's gonna be the one who's got to get out and retrieve it.
Oh yeah.
It takes all afternoon to get out of the back of that thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You practically have to be built in. Poor Dak. He probably just had a catheter or something because had to stay in there all day.
You were just kind of built into it.
It's like the cruise missile trooper.
What?
It's like that cruise missile trooper from the last show.
It is. It's the cruise missile DAC.
That's right.
That's why Luke couldn't get him out, because he's just kind of built into that thing now. He's like, on Willy Wonka, he's like Charlie Bucket's grandparents, just in that bed all the time.
Wow, he's like Grandpa Joe and Grandma Josephine. And wow, this is like takes it in a whole new direction. I had no idea.
Well, no one knew this, but Grandpa Joe was actually a Jedi at one point in his life. Mm-hmm. So, but
the thing about it is the snowspeeder takes you from more of a directly terrestrial craft, like the Sandcrawler, into the next stage, which would be more like an aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're able to do, you know, low and high flight. You can achieve at least some sort of semi-atmospheric height. You can probably drive that thing up into the clouds and stuff. And in that way, it's very similar to the effective range of, like, the cloud car, where they're more... The twin pod cloud cars, the Bespin, are kind of referred to as cars, but they're actually more like flying cars or airplanes.
Yeah.
And much like the rear gunner situation, really want to make sure your pilots of these cars are on the same page in all things.
Yeah, it's almost like the two-headed announcer in episode one. You don't want them fighting each other the whole time. You want them to, you know, live in harmony.
Even worse if you had two of those guys driving
in,
a twin pod
in each one. So
yeah,
four
like
heads.
Four heads. And,
you know. Yeah, exactly.
It's just, but yeah, you really want to make sure everybody's clear on which direction we're going, and you know, we be sure that you signal.
It's like the Siamese twins of the Star Wars vehicles, basically, you're saying.
Yeah, the only thing I can figure is it was just such a poorly conceived design that Lando got them for a bargain. You know, the guy, the security forces hate them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they were cheap.
What if one pilot, you know, they're heading toward Cloud City and they're going up underneath it and you got that big needle at the bottom. What if one pilot wants to go to the left and the other wants to go to the right, but they can't decide until it's too late?
Yeah.
How many times has Lando had to replace that little weather vane?
Well, that and every time somebody falls through the holes and lands on it.
That's true. Yeah, just screaming like a little girl.
It all just wafted up through the air vents. Everybody in the whole city was treated to that. They should have had coverage of people like, what is that? Whatever is going on there.
I like how they immediately you immediately make them snooty.
Yes, they'd have to be. Oh yeah, it's not the sort of thing we came here. There goes the neighborhood.
You're not giving Ice Cream Maker Man enough credit.
Ice Cream Maker Man was really down to earth.
He was, yeah. Yeah, he was. He just went around making Frosties for everybody. You know, you're talking about the snow speeder. I know this never got past the concept stage, but I really wish, as a collector, it had, was the concept of the sand speeder, which I'm sure you've seen photos of this.
Repurposed, repainted. Uh-huh. And the thing is, it's not a hard thing to extrapolate from, because they were saying they were having a hard time adapting the speeders to the cold. If they had a bunch of sand speeders with them, those things weren't built for the Rocky Mountains. They were built for the Mojave Desert.
And, yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden you're having to, like, figure out where to put the antifreeze. Well, they didn't need it.
The sand speeders were pretty cool, because you could tell they just cobbled together pieces from other vehicles. And, you know, it was that line that was supposed to come after the coin series of Power of the Force.
Yes.
But it's basically the snow speeder, obviously in desert colors. But what's cool about it is instead of having that one long gun on one side, they broke it into two guns. And from what I could tell from the concept picture, there's an R2 unit built into it, which they invoked that design later in the prequels, where they have the R2 unit off to the side. And it's got like little flaps coming up the sides of the cockpit, as opposed to, you know, there's nothing there on the snow speeder. It is a cool design. I think as a kid, it was, I guess if anything else, you see that and immediately you start creating these stories in your head of when the rebels went to Tatooine with these things.
Exactly.
You know? So, you know, it's just a cool
thing. I think
that's
what they had in mind with a lot of that stuff, is just sort of take it outside of the, what, or, you know, give you the familiar shapes and forms. And
it was the expanded universe before there was an expanded universe.
That is so true, because that was true of the mini rigs.
Oh, I'm glad you brought those up, because I wanted to talk about those. The AST-5 or what?
It had the one that was like the steamroller walker.
Yeah. There was three of them, but I remember the AST-5 was kind of a cool one to me because it was almost like a transformer, if I remember right. I mean, it's like you had the little cockpit, and then you could either, I guess, you folded out the little wings at the bottom to make it stand upright, or you could fold them back under so compact. So, almost like a Star Trek communicator or something, when you fold it up.
Oh, yes, I know exactly the one you're talking about. Because, in fact, the mini rig started from around the 80s and continued from Empire straight through the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And where you had things like the Cap 4,
mm-hmm.
which was the most un-Star Wars looking thing. And there was, by Jedi, there was like a Rebel vehicle that somehow weighted or gyroscopic in such a way that you had a little cockpit that had kind of a side opening door. It sort of slid open upward, and you put the Rebel inside, and then like the guns would be facing one way and you could rotate it, and they'd be rather than side by the, you know, on either side of the cockpit, that they would be over mm-hmm. and above. So And that actually wound up in the comics as well, as did an awkward toy terrestrial vehicle, the Imperial Troop Transport.
Yes!
Talking
my
about
favorite.
Putting your troops at risk, we always used to joke, you just get guys on either side of the road.
I know we've covered this in past episodes, but it bears worth mentioning again, because this thing is like such a horrible mess that it's worth bringing up.
Well, the thing about it is, that version of the thing actually appeared in an issue of the Star Wars comic from Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which
and Dark Horse.
So
it came
cool.
back for Dark
oh,
Horse.
Oh, really?
I believe
but
they have
what's
like
really
Rebels.
Amazing is they brought it back. Yeah, they brought a similar design back for Rebels without the guys all just being out there and exposed.
No.
Or are they?
Yeah.
Are they out and exposed? Man.
And that's what I was going to tell you, Cole. You'll be glad to know that they return in Rebels. Yeah, they have the three on one side, three on the other. As far as I can tell, they don't have any kind of like hatch that covers them. It's just
they're out
just
there.
The
it is
literally a retooling. Just so they scaled it up just a little
bit. The who did you piss off troops? Who's it's like being sent to the Russian front in Hogan's Heroes. Uh-huh. But, you know, we talked a lot about, like, land vehicles and terrestrial vehicles, you know, for the land and the air. But we also, there was one distinctive aquatic vessel.
Yes.
And that was the Bongo, which is either a drum or a type of antelope on our planet. But apparently for the Gungans, it is a transport.
It's almost fish-like with its tail and its little, it's almost like a manta ray.
Yeah, in fact, I think the idea was that the propulsion on that was supposed to be very organic, or invoking a very organic thing, and be in keeping with the kind of, you know, the way the Gungans were. A lot of their stuff is more so fluid, like their city is, looks like just a cluster of bubbles or fish eggs or something. And you know, for those fish that produce a city-like cluster of eggs.
For those that like to cluster.
Yes.
So, you know, they did so well in the way it moved and the tail, the way it turns, that I kind of thought, is it supposed to be like a hybrid between something organic and mechanical? But it wasn't until I got the episode one, like, vehicle reference book. It details out everything from tip to tail.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's nothing organic on it. Organically generated skeletal, structural skeleton, it says.
Interesting.
So there, I guess it is. I guess it is a hybrid, in a way.
Maybe they got, like, the skeleton of something and built their bongos around it. Or, like, you know, if you look at the design of it, you could easily extrapolate. They're using, like, maybe the skull of some big...
Oh, okay. It says here that the Gungans organically generated shells. So they're using shells and using the shells as a way to house the mechanics, I suppose.
Okay, so rather than, like, you know, build stuff out of metal or what have you, just build it out of organic material.
Yeah, they're upcycling.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a very unique design. Turned out to be a hell of a fishing lure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was better than the Banjo Minnow.
Yeah, I would say so.
They caught a lot of fish with.
Uh-huh.
It was always a bigger one.
Always a bigger fish. Yeah, yeah. You know, since we're talking about episode one, we've got to bring up the pod racers.
Yes, indeed, because that is, while not really necessarily to get you from point A to point B, more to get you from point A back to point A.
Exactly.
A strange, inexplicable race course.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the pod racers were, I don't know, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the pod racer, because conceptually they're interesting. The pod race itself, I think, is where it all falls apart, because for one thing, it seems like, you know, you start off with 20 participants, any 17 to 18 of whom die horribly. I don't know how one gets a career in pod racing if most of the field are dead in flames by the end of the race.
Yeah, they had 18 to start with, and I think the only three that survived are Anakin, Sebulba, and then that one that stalls at the beginning.
Yeah, and Big Face Baby.
Big Face Baby Huey there. So yeah, you're right. Or that caterpillar from Bug's Life, I guess it's more like it.
It's Heimlich. Oh my gosh, I never thought about that. It's Heimlich. I gotta get my car, my sweet little girl.
We are taking it everywhere tonight. There's
sure.
Nothing is off limits.
That's so true.
I like the pod racers, and I like the pod racing scene. I guess I just don't think much into. I don't put that much thought into it. That part to me is just a scene just for entertainment purposes, which that's what the pod racers are in the Star Wars world. Their only point of being is to entertain the crowds. So in a way, they're a lot like Jabba's cell barge. It's just a big party bus. You know, they're to entertain Jabba and his minions.
Yeah, and I guess it was supposed to sort of invoke a kind of NASCAR-esque, or, you know, maybe even going back prior to that, you're just old kind of hot rod, you know, some of your earliest... Actually, if you do look back to some of your earliest racing, automobile racing, there were a lot of deaths.
Yeah, definitely. It also, to me, it always invoked that the feeling of the chariot races from Spartacus.
Yeah, I think that was certainly something they were getting at there, to the point where I'm guessing there was supposed to be some mechanism of Sebulba's pod racer that was going to be like the spiky wheel Spartacus thing going.
Yeah.
There was a little rotating blade built into the toy version.
Yeah. Was there really?
Yeah, there actually is. A little mechanism. You push a button and this little thing flies out.
So Sebulba was going to do a grease lightning on whoever.
Yeah, I guess so. And
tear up the side of their pod racer.
It was apparently breaking off the Van Blanker coupler there earlier was not enough.
No, of course not.
But all I got to say is, you know, it's like tightrope walkers. You know, you got a whole crew who comes string the rope and everything, but end of the day, if you're walking that tightrope, making that last check is on you, and I could make that last check. So.
You know, with the pod racers, of course, Sebulba, when you look at the diagrams of all the 18 racers, Sebulba has the biggest one. You know, he's got the biggest engines and all, but...
And what does that tell us about Sebulba?
Oh, you know, he's trying to make up for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To quote Robot Chicken, it's practically concave.
I haven't seen that, but I get exactly what you mean by that. So, and of course, when you compare all the pod racers, Anakin's is the smallest, at least.
Well, he didn't have much dough, you know. He's a slave for one thing.
No, but it is the most wizard out of all of them.
It is. It is so wizard, and, you know, if he's not careful, he's going to be Bug Squad. But he did retire. He retired on a high with the... Now, like the last episode, we did talk about the AATs, the armored assault tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Which, or no, we didn't talk about those. We talked about the, I don't know what they're called now.
The ones that dropped off the...
the ones that carry the...
The MTTs,
that's what it is.
The MTTs are the tanks that carry the battle droids in the...
The racks and racks of battle droids. It was like a dry cleaner's rack.
It is. It's very, very much
battle droids. But yes, we do need to talk about the AAT.
The ATTE or
The AAT actually is the first, the hover tank, if you will.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Of the Trade Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just a very curious design as well, because you've got this giant scoop front, and then it just kind of tapers off and sticks out in the back rather awkwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And very unusual, possibly based on the weed eater.
Wow. Yeah, it is kind of like that weird design that you would expect a long pole handle coming
exactly,
out the back
yeah.
of it.
You get the idea that much like Slave One was based on the light fixtures.
Yeah.
Somebody was goofing around with the weed eater. Tank.
Yeah, I see. I thought you were talking about the ATTEs, all these initials that get on my nerves, but which we should have brought up when we were talking about the walkers.
Exactly,
but I guess,
because that was, as we talked in the last show, about the precursors.
You definitely see that's the precursor to the Snowwalker. But this is the thing I don't get. It conceptually, it's just as cool. Well, the AT-ATs are cooler because I guess the longer legs and all. But why is it that even to non-Star Wars fans, a lot of the original trilogy vehicles are so iconic, whereas they wouldn't be able to pick out these new vehicles?
Exactly.
Is it because there's just too much given to us in the new movies?
You know, that's ironic that you should mention that, because that was one of the things that was occurring to me, is as I'm thinking about and looking over in my notes and such, there are more terrestrial vehicles.
Yeah.
Because you've got your swamp speeders in the Battle of Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
You've got your Wookiee flying catamarans and your little ornithopters.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... And, of course, any number of droids, but I don't really count those as vessels or vehicles because, you know, apart from the fact that some battle droids hitched a ride on the sides of, like, the stupid One Direction... you know, that one droid thing with the big tread down the middle is like, well, as long as your enemy is directly in front of you at all times... But yeah, at the same time, in Episode 1, you had the what was known as the STAP, the Single Trooper Aerial Platform.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a neat little, you know, pogo stick speeder.
Yeah.
And you can see where that would be also, you know, I think they may have used that in Clone Wars for clone troopers or something akin to that, or am I just dreaming that?
I'm not that far in the series. They could possibly have.
So, but
they
certainly
brought,
that's
they
sort of
basically
thing,
brought back everything for Clone
Wars. You could certainly see that being used for Clone Troopers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, speaking of the six-legged walkers, you also had the weird Godzilla electro-laser legged platform.
That was Electro Laser and Dinah-Girl, right?
Very much like. But now there's that one, that stupid thing where it's like the big radar dish wave motion gun thing.
Oh, yeah.
On legs that it put me in the mind of the big electro zapper that would always get brought out in Godzilla movies.
Oh, gotcha. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah,
I never thought of that.
And I think in a way that may be what somebody was fancifully, because at that point, you know,
all bets were off,
the reins had been loosed. And
well, that's the thing, you know, when the special editions came along, all the people working on the special editions thought it was so clever. Hey, let's put ourselves in the Tatooine scene, on the Mos Eisley scene, walking around as extras. I think that mentality carried over to the prequels. So when the prequels went into production, all of a sudden, Tom, Dick, and Harry all wanted to invoke their favorite memories of Godzilla, Sid and Marty Croft, or what have you, and take those concepts and incorporate them into the prequels somehow, whether it's in an alien or
right
a vehicle.
Down to the circular view screen that the Trade Federation was
exactly
using. It was apparently right out of an Old Republic Flash Gordon serial.
Exactly.
I mean, right down to the way that it looked when it fired up.
When it flickered on, yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that's what the mentality, and when they went in and conceptually designed these vehicles and creatures, is like everyone wanted to put a little piece of their childhood into the prequels.
And then, of course, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Huey helicopter of the Star Wars universe, the Republic gunship.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I really like that design, and I also like the variation on that design that dropped off the walkers.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's true.
Because that was just kind of a neat little background where you had a very similar design, which almost puts you in the mind of one of those big cargo transport helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
where the cargo hull is just, you know, you fly in, you drop it off, then you just have this big gaping space when you're not carrying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, you know, there were a lot of invocations of things, be they real or imagined, throughout, and that's a good point. Or variations on a theme, like the Bark Speeder that appears, I think, in Episode 3.
Yeah.
Which is oddly enough, a better-looking version of the speeder bike than the speeder bike. The speeder bike almost seems
that's
like a
scaled-down
version.
It's just not as iconic.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't wrap my mind around. And I really think it's because we were fed too much stuff, and it was on screen for 10 seconds, and so your average, you know, person going in who wasn't all into Star Wars didn't take that away, whereas everyone remembers the speeder bikes. Everyone remembers the Snowwalker scene. Everyone remembers Luke on his land speeder going into Mos Eisley, because they created these iconic moments using these vehicles as basically they're just as important as the characters in the scene themselves.
Exactly. And they had a presence that's a very good point. There's a presence that so much in the episodes 1 through 3 is lacking.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it's just like, oh, here's something else, here's another thing, here's like 10,000 different ships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that point you're like, who cares?
I mean, but we do get some cool stuff. And like the like you were saying, the gunship is definitely, of the prequels, the gunship is one of my favorite designs. That's definitely...
Yeah, that's one that I can come away with, is just really being the thing.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, put you in the mind of a Huey, but it had this very unique design with the tandem pilot
mm-hmm.
seat, and then your outboard gunners and their little bubbles, and it was just everything about it was just cool. It had a screen presence, and I think that's you make a very valid point that, that screen presence is, even the TwinPod Cloud car has more screen presence than most of the, like, Dooku's sardine speeder there.
Sardine speeder.
No one will ever look at that the same way again.
I need a second for that one. Oh, wow.
So, you know, there are, just looking over various lists of things, there's so many things that sort of pop up on the screen, but at the end of the day, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only other one I'd really want to mention is the contentious clone turbo tank, and I'll try to remember to link to the Jedi justifications on this one.
You're not a fan of the turbo tank?
Actually, it's not me. It was a friend of the show, Russell King, the Toyminator.
Yeah. The Toyminator.
The Toyminator absolutely hated the concept of anything being wheeled in a universe where you have...
walkers.
Well, that's what I point. Or, what about the walkers? You know, if you're saying if you have hover technology like sail barge, you know, if you want to go big... I said, well, you know, you also have the Sandcrawler and the Walker. Why is a wheel so much more contentious to you than a tank tread?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that a problem? But I wrote a Jedi justifications to suggest a valid reasoning behind having both wheeled and non-wheeled vehicles in the context of that emerging war with the Separatists.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll leave it at that. But
the turbo tank is a cool design. I like it. I don't get the name. They think the name is kind of like him. But then again, when you also have things like the Bongo and all these others, like the names are liking all around on the prequels.
That's true too. You know, yeah, a lot of this. And you had like the Flash Speeder that was the on Naboo, and then the Gian Speeder, which you see for about a second.
Yeah.
Typho, not Typho, his, the precursor, Panaka and his bunch.
Oh, yeah. They
cruising in.
They went cruiser speeder crazy in the prequels. Yeah, well.
But there you have it.
Let's just be thankful they finally brought back the Imperial Transport. So we can enjoy that in Rebels and be happy.
There you go, the Transport. So it does, in closing, I'd like to say that it occurs to me that looking back on the previous episode of the pre-recorded show and this one, I find myself anxious to see what is in store for us in the next three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
What vehicles are going to be iconic? And speaking of that, or to that, certainly the variation on the X-Wing that we know will be a part, and the fact that the TIE Fighters are back. These are icons. You can tweak them and play around with them a little bit, but you know that they're an important part of the saga. But what kind of new stuff do we have coming for us?
Well, a popsicle speeder. We know that.
Oh, that's true. We do have the popsicle speeder. I don't know how I managed to forget that. Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever her name is.
Jell-O Puddin' Pop. Scooter, which also has an inexplicably useless windshield.
It's true.
In fact, it is more useless than that on the land speeder.
Uh-huh. Very much.
But, yeah, that interesting to see. And I guess we forgot about the Sis speeder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which was actually refitted from one of those video game chairs. Maul figured out when he got older and, you know, kind of fell out of game consoles that he could just retrofit it with some engines.
You know, the Sith speeder I was never a fan of. Not that I'm being overly picky or anything, but I think what it did to me was the Looney Tunes moment. And that's the moment, you know what I'm talking about, the moment in Episode 1 where Darth Maul is cruising along in it, and when he gets to the cliff, it just drops.
Yes! And you almost
and
want
for
to hear
that split second, I was thinking that Coyote and Roadrunner. Is the first thing that sprung to mind.
Yeah,
and then you realize.
You want some coverage over the cliff, and you can see the little.
Yeah.
You want that
You
little
expected
puff of
to see.
smoke at the.
Yeah, you expected on the side of the speeder to say Acme or something on it.
Or, you know, you expect it as it gets to the edge of the cliff, little, you know, hold up a little sign that says Yipes or something.
Yeah. I think that's what kills it for me, was that Looney Tunes moment where you think, did he just fall off the cliff? And then you realize, oh, he's zooming off in the distance.
Yeah. I hadn't really looked at it that way, but it is a very Looney Tunes sort of motif. But I did like, the one thing I did like about that, I guess prior to the Looney Tunes drop-off, was just the, just when he sits down, like, boom, he's gone.
That's true, yeah.
You know, they did a good job of making that thing look like it was booking.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
You know, beyond that, episode one is chock-a-block full of ridiculous, or the episodes one through three is chock-a-block full of ridiculous-looking air cars of every description.
Yeah, episode...
From your alfresco air taxis.
Yeah, the episode two was very much like a Jetsons episode at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you had everything strange. You need from the Jetsons. You had your flying cars, you had the Skypad apartments, you had...
You did. And the only problem with that is we got Elroy in episode one in the form of Anakin.
Yeah. His boy, Anakin.
Elroy? Yeah. I guess we should stop now. We're going way
yeah,
off.
Yeah,
we've gone off topic.
I was trying to end this on a good note, and then I got thinking of other things and sidetracked. So I am actually very much looking forward to seeing what are going to be the iconic vehicles, the iconic characters, the iconic, you know, you already know, if you listen to this show, if you watch the live show, we love us some BB-8.
Mm-hmm.
We love the hate ball.
Yeah.
Or the great ball.
The great ball, yeah. The great ball of China.
Wow. And with that, we will see you back here in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense. And you can find out more about, you can check out past episodes of this show. You can check out the archive of the live show, Hey Kids Comics, What'd You Think? All kinds of other shows. Our guest on the live show last week, PJ Dunn, his show that we've mentioned often during the show, Do It Yourself. All these things on the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can look for the odd tweet. I'm trying to get better at that. On Twitter, at the Jedi Cole U. You can write to me at Jedi Cole, or sorry, at JCUmail at Yahoo.com. And you can find Eddie last week, if you just missed him, was the North Texas Comic Book Show. But you
North
can
Texas Comic Show, and have Dallas Comic Con Fan Days coming up here in, very quickly in February.
So, yeah, you can definitely catch him at Fan Days if you missed him at the North Texas show. And check Convention Awareness Project Texas at www.cap-tx.info for info on all kinds of upcoming conventions in the Lone Star State. And, Eddie, do you keep your legion of fans updated on your convention appearances on your website? Or how do we find out more about what you're up to?
Try to... Find me on Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, just try it. Just try
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I dare you. Go on Instagram and look for one of the hashtags, EdMetArt, and that'll bring up any kind of postings and pictures I'm posting about for conventions and all. And all the hashtags we use, obviously you can get the list that we announced, that we gave on the previous pre-recorded show. Leia licked the wall and everything else.
That's right.
Moist side of the force.
Moist side of the force. And of course, look for us next week for yet another Rancor Pit Live at deepelemonair.com.
It's just never ending, folks.
I tell you, I'm getting to the point where I can't keep track of which show I'm on anymore. So again, we'll see you back here in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and lots more nonsense.
Y'all have a good night, folks.